Chapter 8, verse 4 of the Bhagavad Gita.
So we started the 8th chapter, and the 8th chapter starts with the student wanting to know who is this Lord and what is his nature. He says, what is your nature and who are you? So he says, the Lord says, I am Brahma, I am Adhyatma, I am Karma, I am Adhibhutam, Adhidaivam, Adhiyajna. These are the qualities of the Lord. And Arjuna wants to know what is the meaning of each word. What do you mean by Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma, and so on? So last week, in verse number 3, we had heard from the teacher where he said that I am Brahma, I am the imperishable consciousness. So he said, I am that Brahma, I am that imperishable self that pervades the entire universe. And then he said, I am not only the Lord that is outside everywhere, but I am also the Adhyatma, I am also yourself. I am the consciousness within you, because of which you are able to walk, talk, hear, listen, taste, touch. So I am the life within and the Lord outside. So I am both. And then Arjuna asked, what is karma? What is action? And we think of action as getting up in the morning, brushing the teeth, going to work. Yeah, those are all actions. Driving, swimming, playing tennis. But the Lord says the only action that is worth doing is that which is creative, where you are creating something new, where you are evolving, getting better. Even removing your ignorance and learning is something new, because you are creating knowledge within you. So anything that is creative, that is creating something new or that is progressive, that is only true karma. The rest are all actions. But the true karma, true action is the creative force because of which this entire universe is created. So that's what we did last week. So today we'll continue in verse number 4, those of you who have the book, where he will tell us the other three terms. What is Adhibhutam, Adhidaivam, and Adhiyajna. So verse number 4. Adhibhutam kshaaro bhavah purushchaschadhidaivatam adhiyajnohamevatra dehe deha bhritamvara. So he says, this is chapter 8, verse number 4. He says, Adhibhuta. What is Adhibhuta? Adhibhuta is the kshara bhava. It is the destructive, not the destructive, but it is that part of the universe that gets destroyed. Kshara. One is akshara. The Lord is indestructible. He had talked us last time. I am the imperishable Brahman. Akshara. But that which gets destroyed, that which changes, like us, the body, the mind, the intellect, the cars, the houses, the buildings, everything that is changing and that gets destroyed is Adhibhutam, is the elements. So the five elements that constitute this whole universe, as we know, the universe is made of five elements, space, air, fire, water, and earth. So these five elements constitute everything that you see, whether it's alive, dead, all of us are also made of the five elements, space, air, fire, water, and earth. So he says that Adhibhutam kshara bhava. So Adhibhutam is the elements that get destroyed, that change. Purushcha Adhidaivatam. And the Daivatam, the inner controller, the inner regulator, the inner regulator of the senses is the Purusha, is the inner Lord, that is Adhidaivatam. And we'll explain each word. And then he says, Adhiyajna aham eva atra. And I am the Adhiyajna. Yajna means the offerings. So the Lord of all the sacrifices, all the offerings, I am, he says, Dehe, in this body, in everybody's body, I am the Lord of the sacrifices, I am the Lord of the senses, and all the elements also come from me. Deha Vritam Varaha, and he praises the student Arjuna. He says, you are Deha Vritam Varaha, you are the best among the embodied, best among the men, you are the best. So why does he praise Arjuna? Why does he praise the student? And he says, this is a very, Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary, he says that if you want the student to enjoy your class and to keep coming, you praise him. You are the best student I have ever had. And definitely, he will come next time. I am a good student. Or even we find entertainers, when they come, they say, Bakersfield is the best crowd I have ever had. And then the Bakersfield people get more enthusiastic and they cheer. And the same thing, they go to Los Angeles, they say, this is the best crowd. And they go to Chicago. So the idea is that when you praise somebody, it makes him happy. I am a very good student. And so that is one of the, and same thing for your children. One way is to criticize them. You are useless, you are worthless. Or another way, say, you are so good. You helped me clean the house. And immediately when you praise the child, then the child next time will clean with more enthusiasm. That's what they say. When you praise somebody with a positive, you can get a lot more done than if you criticize. So here the teacher is praising the student. And Arjuna was indeed a very brilliant student. As we see throughout the Gita, he was a very fit student. He listened with great attentiveness. He asked appropriate questions. And at the end of that, he had retained enough knowledge that he said, my moha has ended, my delusion has ended. Now I'm ready to do what you tell me. So Arjuna was indeed a wonderful student. And so Krishna is just recognizing the fact that he is a very nice student. He asks good questions and he pays attention. So what is this adhibhutam? What is this, the five elements? What we see is that this whole universe is composed of five elements: space, air, fire, water, and earth. And in the Vedic literature, they are also called as Purush and Prakriti. Purusha is the consciousness, is the life, and Prakriti is the five elements, and which constitute this world of matter. So Purush and Prakriti are the consciousness and the matter. Just as in a radio, we have electricity. Electricity is the power and the radio is the matter, is the visible. And it's because of the electricity that the radio can play, but electricity itself cannot play music. The electricity needs the radio to play the music. So similarly, the consciousness is all pervading, but it needs form. And so we provide the form, or Prakriti or the nature or the creative force provides the form with which the matter which can express what the spirit provides the power. It's like the steam in the steam engine or the gasoline in the car. The gasoline provides the car, but the provides the power, but the car is the visible. The gasoline we cannot see, but we can see the car. But it is because of the power of the gasoline that the car moves. So it is because of this consciousness within us that I am able to function. So this visible body is actually nothing but an expression of the Lord. See, that is another point. What we think is that God is something separate and I am something separate. This body is something separate. He says, no, it is my own expression. And there was a very famous saint in India named Raman Maharishi. And he gave a very, very beautiful verse. He says, true prayer is serve the world as an eightfold expression of the Lord. Jagat ishadhi yukta sevanam ashta murti brita deva pujanam. He says in his beautiful teachings that he says that the world is not separate from the Lord. The world is an expression of the Lord and it is the eightfold expression. Why do we say eightfold? Just now we said, well, there are only five elements: space, air, fire, water, and earth. But we are not only the five elements, we are also mind, intellect, and ego. The mind, which is the seat of emotions, the intellect, which is the seat of thoughts, and the ego, that I am this individuality, I am Anil, or I am Kheri or whatever I am, that ego, that individuality that separates me from everybody else, that distinguishes me. I'm a male, I'm a physician, I'm from India. So all these characteristics that we apply upon ourselves, the descriptions, that is called the ego. And so each individual is of eightfold. It is the five elements, the mind, the intellect, and the ego. So Raman Maharishi says that prayer, you know, one, of course, prayer is you go to the temple or the church and you offer flowers or you offer a candle and you bow down and you prostrate. But that is not true prayer. That is good. But true prayer is when you serve the world and see the Lord in all the creatures and serve them all as an expression of the Lord. Just as I am an expression of the Lord, everybody is. And it doesn't matter whether he's a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a black or a white or a Mexican or an Asian. But when you see that oneness, and you serve the world not out of ego, not out of arrogance, but as a spontaneous act of love, that, he says, is the true prayer. Jagat Ishadi Yukta Sevanam Ashtamurti Brit Deva Pujanam. So if you want to worship the Lord, do not only restrict to the temple or the church, but go out and serve him in the world, because each and every individual is a temple of the Lord. What is a temple? Where the Lord resides. And the Lord resides. And same thing with me also. The Lord resides. So I have to take care of this body. I have to take care of my mind, take care of intellect, keep it clean. Just as your temple or church, we keep it clean. So I have to keep my body clean. I have to keep my mind pure. I have to have the right emotions, right thoughts, love, compassion. So purity of the body, mind, and intellect is very, very important. So that is the idea, that my body is a temple of the Lord and I should use it to serve the Lord. Now we have five senses, the eyes see, the ears hear, the nose smells, the tongue tastes, and the skin touches. So seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Now the sense organs do all that. You know, I see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. But the ability to see, the power within me that makes the eyes see and makes the ears hear, makes the tongue taste. So that power, because of which I am able to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, is the Adidaiva. He says the Lord is the power in the senses. He says, I am the Adidaiva. I am the power because of which you are able to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. So the idea is that not only see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, but even with my hand, if I do anything, with my speech, with my legs. So the idea is that all my ability to think, my ability to talk, my ability to do, all come from the Lord. And so what one has to do is reduce one's ego and remember that the Lord is the one that is doing everything. I am not the doer, I am just an instrument in his hands. And in the 11th chapter, he says, you know, he says, become an instrument in my hand. He tells Arjuna, oh Arjuna, you become an instrument in my hand. And when we become an instrument in the hands of the Lord, then our actions are pure, they are divine. So he says, I am the Lord of all the senses. Then he says, I am Adhi Yajna. I am the Lord of all the sacrifices. Now this word sacrifice has various meanings. Originally in the Vedic times, when they talked about sacrifice, or even when they talk about, we talk about it today, we think about, you know, like in most of the Indian prayers, in the ancient prayers, they used to have a fire. They used to have fire. They would have like a kunda, like an enclosure made out of bricks or out of stones. And within that, they would put some wood and light a fire. And the priests would be chanting the mantras, and people would offer, you know, this oil or ghee, what they call as butter, or they would offer grain, or they would offer wood, so milk and, you know, all those, you know, nuts, all those things would be offered in the fire, and the fire was worshipped as an expression of the Lord, because it is, you know, it is one of the five great elements. And it is said that when you offer things in the fire, it goes directly to the Lord, because the fire is like Federal Express. Like, you know, take it there overnight. So the fire, no, it doesn't take overnight, it takes it instantly. So that's why the fire is worshipped, because that is a way for your prayers to reach him. So the offerings placed in the fire by the devotee, and when this offered with love and the chanting of the mantras by the priest, it is said that when that is done, the devotee gets blessed. Because anything you offer to the Lord with love is like when you go to the church and you light a candle and offer it with love. You say, the Lord doesn't need the candle, but by offering and sacrificing, when I do it with love, I get all the spiritual benefit. So the end result of that is the spiritual benefit. And it's the same thing, you know, if you take flowers to the temple or you take a fruit or whatever. So how does this correlate with our body? You know, we understand, okay, there is a fire, there is a priest. But in the Gita, Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary very beautifully gives a simile. He says our body is that Havan Kunda, is that enclosure made out of stone and bricks, because our body is made out of earth. Now there are seven sense organs. You know, we know five, there are five, of course, the eyes, ears, nose, skin and tongue. But there are two more, the mind and the intellect. Because the five sense organs see everything, hear, smell, taste, touch. But the mind gets all the emotions, gets the emotional input. And the intellect gets the ideas, the thoughts that come from outside. You somebody loves me, so the mind feels the love. Or somebody, what is happening in Iraq, or when I go to college, I learn about physics. So that goes through the intellect. So the five senses, the mind and the intellect, constantly bring input. So they are called as the seven priests, who are, and the seven sense organs are the ones, are the devotees, you know. And what are the offerings? The offerings are what I see, hear, smell, taste and touch, what I feel and what I think. So those things are being offered constantly into my mind, right? I'm constantly seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, I am feeling emotions, I am thinking the thoughts. So we are constantly inputting into our mind, right? So the Lord that is within is the fire of consciousness. Just as you offer everything into the fire and then the fire consumes it. So the Lord is the one that gets all the input. So the idea is that he is the one to whom all my activities should be devoted. And once you do that, then you say, you know, whatever I'm seeing is going to go to the Lord, then I should see good things. Whatever I'm hearing is going to him, then I should hear good things. I shouldn't hear gossip or criticism or bad things. But if I don't want to hear bad, then I shouldn't speak bad. Because if I speak bad, I am the one who hears it first. So the idea is that when everything is being offered to the Lord, then my speech will be good, my actions will be good. What I see, hear, smell, taste, what the food I put in my body should be healthy, should be nutritious, should not be junk food. You know, so the idea is that whatever I am and I am doing, I am offering to the Lord, then every act, even the act of eating becomes a prayer. That's why in all the religions, before we eat, you know, we, like in Christians, they say grace. Even in Hindus, we offer the food to the Lord. The idea is that, oh Lord, you are the one who has given me the food. I am offering this food to you, the Lord within. So even eating becomes an act of prayer. Another meaning I read of this Adi Yajna, in another commentary, he says that I am the Lord of all sacrifices. When you say I am the Lord of all sacrifices, see, when I sacrifice something, you know, when I give something to somebody, I wanted to go to a movie, but somebody needed my help. And so I said, okay, I won't go to the movie. I'll sacrifice that, but I'll stay and help you. Or I have some money, but there is somebody who needs it more, who is a genuine cause. And I help that person either with my money or with my time or with my love. You know, somebody needs a love, needs a hug, and I go and, you know, cheer that person up. So I may sacrifice my time or my money or my effort, but they say that when you sacrifice for others, the other person benefits, but you benefit even more. You benefit even more. Because when I share with somebody, not only I get the good feeling, you know, that I help this person, but it says in the scriptures that the Lord says that one who sacrifices for me and does good for the world, then I take care of that person. Then I make sure that that person is taken care of and nourished, because then he becomes my devotee. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. The Lord says then I take responsibility. That's why we find in all these great saints, the Lord always protected them. The Lord always took care of them. Why? Because these people are working for me. And that's what he says that in another place, the Lord says, no me bhakta pranashyati. My devotee never perishes, will never become poor, will never suffer. I'll make sure that I take care of my devotee. So when we sacrifice, again, one should not think that, you know, I am doing a great service to somebody by helping. No, you say I am doing a great service to myself, because I am the one who is benefiting the most from the sacrifice. So the idea is that when every one of our activities are devoted to the Lord and constantly remembering the Lord, then every act becomes a prayer. Even cooking can become a prayer, because I am cooking for my children who are the Lord, or my the guests who are coming to my house. I am cooking for them. So even the act of cooking, or for a teacher who is teaching the students, she can see that the Lord is there in all these 30 little children. Or for a doctor seeing patients, or for an engineer who is building a dam. And he says, I'm building the dam for who? For all the people, to benefit them, so that they may. So constantly remembering him. So the idea is that in every activity, you should remember the Lord, you should constantly serve him, and constantly have this attitude of gratitude that, oh Lord, I am so grateful to you for whatever you have given me, and let me use my talents and my abilities to serve the world. And then his last question, how do you remember the Lord at the time of death? We shall do next week, because that comes in the next two verses. So this verse talks about these various qualities of the Lord. If anybody has any questions or comments, we have about 5 minutes.
We say when you do something for someone or do a good deed that you feel good, but in our meditation class, aren't we talking about not taking that to the ego? I mean, not saying,
yes,
well, like I'm so great because I did something.
Right.
It's
right.
Just, you can acknowledge that you feel good that you did something for someone. But
True. But it should not fatten your ego, right? That's why you immediately, when you do that, you say, Krishna Arpanamastu. I am dedicating it to the Lord. If this good deed, the Lord as the one has given me the ability. So actually you should be grateful to that person because he has given you the ability to serve. That's why a truly a great servant of the people actually is grateful to the people that because they have, you know, they have given me the ability and the opportunity to serve. So yes, it should not become a source of ego. But I mean, you know, it's okay if you feel good, it's okay as long as you're not becoming arrogant and as long as you're not getting the feeling that I am the one doing it. So immediately dedicate it to the Lord. Krishna Arpanamastu. And once you say that, then automatically, you know, in Sanskrit you can say, you know, I dedicate it to the Lord. The idea is that he is the one doing it. Yes.
Those of us in the helping professions, you know, we start out doing things because you care and doing things just to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some people out there who start expecting that, and before you know it, you're kind of drawn into, they're expecting you, and you feel as though you're being sucked dry. How does that fit into the wholeness?
I think, again, they say that you should help others, but if it comes to a point where you are so caught up in that you do not have time for your own self-study, self-improvement, you don't have, you know, and you're just getting so much caught up in your work, then one has to set a limit. Okay, so many hours are for work, so many hours are for fun, so many hours are for my personal needs, my hygiene, and then this much time I have set aside for my spiritual study. And so, you know, I think one has to balance all that. Yeah, if you are feeling that it's becoming too much, where I'm getting uncomfortable, then yeah, one has to prioritize and one has to organize one's hours and time.
Sense of anger.
Yes.
You start getting angry.
Right.
That's sort of your end.
Right, or resentment. You know, yeah, you're resenting that person. Yes. No, I think there, again, you yourself will know that at what point I feel comfortable and then what point I don't. And as long as you're comfortable, it's okay. Some people just devote their whole life, but then at the end of the day, if they're thinking, well, you know, I'm getting overwhelmed, then yeah, one has to. I think the time is up, so we'll see you next week, and we'll continue the discussion. We'll just end with a closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinam, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Akashchit Dukham Arpane. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Krishna.